Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy, without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme, or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hey there, it is really great to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. You can usually catch me at least once a week on the Copyblogger blog, as well as getting more mindset and ranty stuff at Remarkable Communication. Remember, you can always get the show notes for every episode, including links and free extras, by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm, and that's also where you can get the complete show archive. So, on the Copyblogger blog last week, I wrote something in passing that I say a lot, which is that futurism is a scam. So, futurism is an actual job. A futurist is somebody whose job it is to essentially look at everything, read everything, analyze all of it, and then let us know what's going to happen next. And I have known professional futurists, and the problem is their track record just isn't very good. Predictions, if you look at analyses of predictions, they're just not too good. They're better than a crystal ball, but not enough better. And that's because the future is not like the plot of a movie or the plot of a mystery novel. So the clues, the important clues, the ones that matter about what's going to happen next are not, carefully selected. So there are a million things that happen, and then a few of those are going to influence what happens next. Now, there is something that you can look at to get a decent kind of approximate idea of what's going to happen in the near future, and that's what's happening now. So I don't believe in predictions, and this time of year I get asked, what are your 2018 predictions? I don't really have predictions, and I don't believe the future is something that we can forecast, but I do think that there's benefit in looking at trends. In looking at what's happening now, that seems like it's going to keep happening for a while. So here's my prediction-free take on some trends that I think are probably going to keep being viable in 2018. And the first one is a greater emphasis, greater and greater, on content quality. So there was a phrase, it was coined by Mark Schaefer, called content shock. And that was an observation and a prediction that we're reaching a point where there's a lot more content created than there are hours of human attention to actually read or watch or listen. And if you look at the raw volume of content that's published, that's an important message. It does seem to be spot on. There is really a deafening amount of noise out there. And the more of this kind of noisy content gets created, the harder it is for any of it to capture even a few moments of attention. So it gets more loaded up with ads so it can generate enough revenue to be worth the cost of creating it. And it's a pretty rapid spiral to the bottom. So my answer to that problem, that issue, is the same today, and it is the same looking at what I suspect will keep working in 2018 as it was in 2014 when Schaefer first wrote that article on content shock. And it's based on my observations about the kinds of content that works and the kind of content that doesn't work, and that is that it has to be useful and it has to be interesting. And long before 2014, Brian Clark was writing about this way back in the days when Copyblogger was first launched. There was less competition for attention then. There was less content being published. But the basic driving force is the same. And that is this. You are not entitled to anybody's time or attention. You have to earn them. Now, what I suspect is happening with content shock and with the overproduction of thin, low-quality content is that bigger organizations, bigger corporations have a tendency to go right to process. They cut to process as soon as they possibly can. And they take what's working and they turn it into a set of steps that can be printed out, you know, literally printed, put into a three-ring binder, and then executed by an employee who's just okay. You know, not that dialed in, not that passionate, but they're basically capable. And possibly even a freelancer for some of these sites who's working for a tiny, tiny fraction of the legal minimum wage in, you know, the country that this organization is based in. It's really hard to run big organizations any other way. Because when you have lots and lots of people, you have to have pretty rigid processes in place so that everything can run smoothly. And the challenge is that you will rarely create content that's worth reading or watching or listening to by following the directions in a three-ring binder. And the more that these organizations publishing this kind of volume of content are trying to do that, the more room actually gets made for writers who I would call artists. So the people who think about things differently, who have odd dreams, who tell strange jokes. So that giant mass of content that's fighting harder and harder to get attention, and it's created by rigid processes, a lot of the worst of it is intended to be just they hand a process to a low-cost freelancer and spit out some content with air quotes around it. So my phrase for this is content regurgitated as product. And the acronym is CRAP. So if you have enough money, if you have enough bodies to throw at this, it kind of works still. I mean, it's still viable. It's still a model that generates revenue. But in terms of the conversation that you and I might have, who cares? As a writer, you don't want to have anything to do with that work because the pay is horrible and the work is soul-destroying. And as a company or as a marketer, you don't want to have anything to do with it because all it's really good at is gaining some fleeting attention for ads. It's a game whose power is diminishing every day. So this is the kind of content that pundits mean when they say that content marketing is waning. It's either rather dull, mediocre work that's created by organizations, by employees who don't care very much. They're just kind of punching a time clock. Or it's just out and out clickbait, bordering on spam. Neither of these is really content marketing. They're both CRAP. And the only way out that I see at the moment, given what's working today, is art. And that kind of leads us to trend number two, which is fracturing cultures. So the only way, in my opinion, to stand out in this sea of mediocre, thin, cynically produced content is to allow the messages and the voices to be somewhat fractured. So this is not a time to look for one voice that speaks to everyone. This is a time for look for what's different, for what's distinctive. So because the internet has made it so easy to talk with small, passionate, like-minded groups of people, that's become the necessity. That's become how we need to connect with our audiences. Now, I'm sure there are still going to be brands like Coca-Cola that are working on speaking to the entire planet. But I think it's interesting that Coca-Cola, which in my opinion is one of the all-time great advertisers, has often told small, unique stories that speak to values that not everyone in the culture shares. So there's a very recent example in 2017. Coke released an ad called Pool Boy. It was an international ad. It had no dialogue. It just was a silent film against a background of a song. And it featured a gay character, and it featured that character in a very matter-of-fact way. It wasn't a big deal. So in this fracturing kind of culture war, even Coke, you know, one of the most generic, ubiquitous brands on the planet, picked a side. So we have written quite a bit on Copyblogger, particularly in the last couple of years, about creating content around specific values. And we will continue to do that as long as it looks like it's effective. What I suspect, given the general economic, political, cultural climate, is it's probably just going to become more and more important. But either way, it's what works today. And I don't see anything that would keep it from working in the short term. And the third trend, not prediction, that I will make today is to talk about the role of technology and tools to amplify your talent, your art, your ability to make creative, genuinely creative content that really stands out, and the values-driven kinds of messages that you're choosing for that project that you're working on. So this is one you will be seeing a lot more on Copyblogger and on this podcast in the coming year. So Copyblogger has always focused on strategy and on the execution of the language, the writing, whether that's text or scripted copy for videos or podcasts, because strategy and language are foundational. In 2018, Copyblogger is going to be talking more about some of the technology tools that can help you amplify what you're doing. So I think of it as a microphone. If you amplify horrible singing, then you get a louder version of horrible. So you have to have the foundation in place. You have to have the content that has the spark of true creativity, content that somebody cares about, and you have to have, it has to be well executed. It has to be useful, and it has to be, you know, written in language that's really, I would say, you know, very effective. And effective isn't always about making your fourth grade English teacher happy. It's really about speaking dynamically and forcefully and with a lot of command of the language. So for content that's got that handled, or at least, you know, is striving toward those goals, if you want to reach a wider audience, there is technology that can help you quite a bit. So I'm very excited about talking about more of these tools. We are collecting our toolkit kind of behind the scenes this month to start talking about in the new year. If you have a tool you love, we would love to hear about it. We would love to hear what's working for you now that we think is going to keep working well. If you want to drop by copyblogger.fm and let us know, you know, maybe some of the tools you really, really find effective for things like finding a larger audience or speaking more directly to the relevant people in your audience, we would love to know about that. So that's it. These are my trends, not predictions, for 2018. Things that have a good track record, they seem to be working well, they seem to have momentum. You know, they have some power behind them. And from what I can see from here, I think they're going to continue to be powerful. And as always, anytime, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's a turbulent time or just a regular time, you want to keep your eyes open for what's working. You want to keep your eyes open for interesting experiments to try. You want to stay very agile, but also practical. Don't throw out what works today for what might work tomorrow, but do make room for some experiments, for things that might be new to you or you might not have tried, or maybe nobody's tried and you just want to try something new. So there's that balancing what's working well, what really meets your audience's needs, with experimentation to keep things fresh and interesting. That's always important for anybody's content strategy. Doesn't matter what you're working on. This is going to be the last Copyblogger FM podcast for 2017. Going to take a couple of week hiatus, refresh, recharge, do some things behind the scenes, make a couple of changes to make things more useful for our audiences, and we will see you again in January. I hope you have lovely holidays, and I'll catch you in the new year. Take care, everybody.